30-some years ago now. She sung that on a Sunday night, and I was trying to fight God and stepping out to preach His Word. And she kept singing that, I don't have to sail this old stormy sea by myself. And He'll pilot my ship. And that night after she got done singing, just soon she got done singing, I hit the floor and repented to God, surrendered to preach. And it's been a long time since then. She was a little teenager singing. It's been a long time ago. I thank God for it. All right? All right. Everybody ready this morning? You got me ready, David? There we go. All right. Been trying to encourage everyone the month of January. I'm sorry you wasn't here. Okay? January was the month of encouragement. All right? And this is the love month. All right? We just celebrated Valentine's Day, Wednesday. And had a great week. It's been a great week. And despite what Jerry Rush said about me, I was invited to preach a sweetheart banquet last night. Huh? And me and all my finery intact went down and preached a sweetheart dinner. Huh? And I reckon they're having church this morning. We ain't heard. But nevertheless, we had a good time. And people have been celebrating. I've heard people talking about going out and eating and taking their spouse out, and that's a good thing, all right? Now, just remember that all points dissolve at midnight every day, all right? And you don't just do that. Yesterday's love's gone. You got to have new love today, and then the days will be gone. It's got to be the next day. You understand? You got to work on it, all right? So don't forget, it's not just Valentine's Day. You go courting. Remember that. There's the next week, too, and the week after, all right? Just trying to help you, ladies. Y'all ought to, all of you, should have hit your feet and hollered hallelujah right there. That was your time right there, all right, to say, that's right, preacher, you tell them, right? Maybe you don't want to go with them. Maybe we need to have another bulletproofing session, okay? But anyway, this is the love month. We've been trying to get you to understand the seriousness of the house, the seriousness of your home. And with all the turmoil in the land today, it's turmoil in the home as well. It's not just in our country. It's not just in our schools. It's not just in our government in the White House or the Capitol House down Charleston, but it's in our house. And everything rises and falls, I believe, on what goes off in our home. And we must take it serious. We must take it serious, all right? That's what we're looking at. Let's build a house. That's what we've been looking at the past couple weeks, and today and tonight and next Sunday, and then we'll go on as the Lord leads, okay? But I want you to listen carefully this morning, and we're going to be very pointed this morning. It's going to be right in our lap, and I want you to listen carefully, all right, because you must make a decision today. You will make a decision today, okay? You will make one. After I get done, you will make a decision today. All right? Think about that. Let's pray together. Father, you're wonderful and great to us. There's no doubt about that. And there is no one like you. You're holy and pure, and you do everything exactly right. You never make a mistake. It don't matter what it is, where it's at. You never make a mistake. And I love you for that. Lord, I'm glad that somebody like you loves somebody like me. That's what I don't understand, but I sure do thank you. Now, Lord, I'm asking you for help. Lord, I know that there's needs here this morning. Lord, we're a needy people. And for every home represented here this morning, we have needs. And God, I pray that after this morning, we might see the seriousness of the hour. That, Lord, we might go from this place determined in our heart, changed in our heart, changed in our mind, that our homes are going to make a difference for you. Lord, I pray that you might help us do that. Lord, in my own life, search me out anything that would be like sin, anything at all, slight. It don't matter if it's the shadow sin. God, show me what it is that I might repent, clean it up. I don't want nothing between me and you this morning. And Lord, I ask you again today that you might expose every sin of every person that's here today, that nothing be hid, that nothing be put in a corner, nothing be tried try to just be buried, but that we might come to you and get it washed clean this morning, I pray. And Lord, I'm asking for power. Touch me fresh to the Holy Spirit, if you would. Give me power that I might preach as you've given me. May you get all the glory. Give me the memory that's necessary. May the Word of God have free course, I ask. In Jesus' name, and amen. We're looking at let's build a house, all right? Let's build a house. And it's important that we understand we're not building a brick and a block or a board house. We're building a household. We're building something that we're going to dwell in, that we want God to dwell in. And Wednesday nights has come right in together with all of this. And if you've not been coming on Wednesday, you ought to come on Wednesday. It'll help you. It'll help you grow, all right? Psalms 127, verse 1 says this, "Except the Lord build the house, they that labor is going to labor in vain." You're not going to be able to do it except the Lord build the house, all right? It says, "And to keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." All right, understand this. If the Lord don't build it, you ain't going to have much, all right? I don't want a house built on my own efforts. I don't want a house built on my own strength. I don't want a house built on my own wisdom. I want God to build me a house and me be pleasing unto Him. And that's what we all ought to desire. You agree with that? A house, all right, in a general sense, a building or a shed intended or used as a habitation. But in Scripture it says, the ninth meaning in a Webster dictionary, those who dwell in a house and compose a family, a household. All right, that's what we're looking at this morning. Let's build a house. Let's build the right kind of household that we're supposed to have. A household consists of husband and wife, man and woman, husband and wife. That's what constitutes a household. Nothing else constitutes a household. Man and woman constitute a household. You understand that? All right, well, we understand what it is. We look to start with, the first Sunday of the month, we looked at the foundation, and that's our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's got to start. You need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, me and Cheryl Ann are one. We're a home. We're a household, all right? But if she's got a relationship and I don't, that's not helping me. All right. If I have a relationship and she's not, that's not helping her. She needs a personal relationship. I need a personal relationship. You need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus yourself. You're not going to go to heaven on somebody else's coattails. All right. Are you hearing me? You're going to have to be born again yourself. Think about that. That's the relationship where it starts. Then we looked at our vision for a house. That was on the Sunday night, all right? And then we looked at real love last Sunday morning. What constitutes real love? What the Bible laid out. Real love. It's not just what we think. It's not real lust, but it's real love. Huh? It is sacrificial. You got to give. You do got to serve it. Huh? Think about it. It's got to be steadfast. All that was in there together. Then last Sunday night, we looked at the ruin of a house. And we looked at some serious things concerning what causes our homes to ruin, if you would. Now we want to look at a little deeper this morning. I want you to listen carefully. Everybody okay so far?
Sure.
All right. Now let's look at the testimony of our house. The testimony of our house, our household. What is the testimony of our household tonight? Now, it's very important. It's very important. Everybody has a testimony. Everybody has one. Whether it be good or bad, everybody has a testimony. But see, a testimony is supposed to support the facts. You understand? That's what a testimony is. Let's look and see. A testimony is a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. Testimony concerning a person's reputation among associates or in the community. Proof or evidence that something exists or is true. That's what a testimony is. All right? And we need to be concerned about the testimony of our house. This week, there's been a lot on my mind this week concerning this very thing. And this week, some of y'all may know, some of you may not, but there was a great preacher, Bobby Robertson, that went to be with the Lord this week. He pastored the same church for almost 63 years. He was not just a figurehead, but he pastored a church. I mean, he preached to the people. He healed me, but he preached to the people. He worked as hard as he could at 86 years old or so. Done a great work there in Walkerstown, North Carolina. All right? Done a great work. But he went to be with the Lord, and he left a great legacy. He left a great testimony. His wife had died a few years ago, and he stuck right in there, hammered right on, just kept on. Visitation, winning people to the Lord, feeding the people. I mean, he preached and always encouraged. Mr. Encourager. If you met him on the street, he wouldn't stop and encourage you. He didn't have to know you. He was just a common, no education, no college, run 60 buses, 4,000 in Sunday school, just an old country hick that built a church, and they didn't have enough money, so he said, well, let's make some mater sandwiches and sell them. So they made mater and mayonnaise sandwiches and sell them to buy buses and to get the work going. That's what he done. All right, he just a good old fellow. But the testimony they left behind was great. And I thought about this all week long with this message. When I go, when I die, my testimony is going to be what's left. There on our bulletproofing, I had them sing the song on the tape player there, Finish Well. The youth choir sings Finish Well. When I leave this, I want to finish well. You ought to be concerned about how you're going to leave this world. The last thing you're going to have, the only thing you're going to have is your testimony. You understand that? You're not going to have your wife or your husband's or your... You're going to have yours. Are you understanding me? Yours. Somebody's going to talk about you after you're gone. What will they say about you after you're gone?
Amen. Amen.
Think about that. It's important that we think about the testimony of our household. What will the records say about your house? What will the records say? Huh? There's going to be some, well, that's a good guy, that's a good lady. There's some, that's a sorry trifling, but I'm glad he's dead, glad she's dead. Right? We wish that on people now, don't we? Well, we wish they'd hurry up and die so we get it over with.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
I mean, you already invited them to hell this week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's somebody here today in this church house today that told somebody to go there. I'm sure they are. If you didn't say it out loud, you thought it. Huh? Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
That's just the way we are.
It's true.
Okay? What's going to be said? What's going to be said? What's the record going to hold for Mark D. Sechrist? Huh? I think about that a lot. What's the record going to hold when y'all lay me out here in front of this pulpit? Huh? What's the record going to say about Mark D. Sechrist? Huh? When you come around and view my body, what are you going to say? Huh? I got to be careful who I get to preach my funeral. Huh? I'm going to write my own eulogy, put a $100 bill in the envelope so somebody can read it and feel like they've gained something. Huh? Right? What will the record show? It's serious. What will the record show? What's your record going to show about your house, your household?
Yeah.
Huh? When my name is mentioned, it's never just my name. Do you know that?
Right.
If I introduce myself somewhere in Fayette County, Greenbar, over in Wilmington County, you any kin of them secrets over there?
Yeah, right.
Are you any kin of that bunch of Winona? That's what they've asked for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm one of them. I don't live there now. I move, but I'm one of them. That's my people. Oh. Yeah. What's the mama say? Some will say this. Hey, you ain't kin to Preacher Bill, are you? And I said, that was my papa. Wow. Well, I already got a good reputation with that person because I'm kin to Preacher Bill. They say, now he's a younger preacher, a boy. That was my dad. Really? Wow. Yeah, that's good. But what will they say about Mark D?
Yeah, that's right.
What will they say about my household? Can I tell you that if somebody speaks my name, Cheryl's name comes up.
Yeah.
Philip's name comes up. Right now, Philip's name comes up immediately. I was down there at the hunting fishing show. And walking hundreds of people you couldn't even walk through. And I walked through, and a complete stranger said, "Hey, are you Philip's dad?" I said, "Yeah, who are you?" He was a feller on the radio, Jeff Jeffries. I didn't know him, but he knew Cheryl, knew Philip. I didn't know him. He said, "Here's 100 people on me. Hey, you Philip's dad?" Huh? So that makes me look good, right? But what's the record going to show about you this morning? What's the record going to show? Everybody understand where we're going with that? Let me show you what I mean. It won't be a long sermon at all. But Jehoiada, 2 Chronicles 24, 15, 16. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. That's a good life, ain't it? And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. That's a good testimony when you die. That, hey, let me tell you something about Jehoiada. That when he died, he was good to all of Israel, and he was good to the Lord, good to his house. That's a good testimony, ain't it? Huh? He was a priest. They got the house of God cleaned up. If you go back and read about him, he worked right till he died, getting the house of God cleaned up, built up, and like it's supposed to be. That's what he did. And he died for the Lord. Huh? Ain't that a good testimony? That he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. The people said that. When they buried him, when they gathered around the graveside, they said, "That's what he done." What will yours say? But see, everybody's ain't going to say that. Everybody's ain't going to. There's always going to be something different. Everybody's not going to have the same. Everybody understand? So let's look. What a great testimony to have when you die. That's what he had, right? Now look here. Let's look at this one. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1 and 2. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name, now I'm going to take a stab at it, was Jehoiadan of Jerusalem. All right? And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. There's a lot that do right on the outside, but they ain't right on the inside. Now that's what this feller done. Huh? And that's what his testimony is. It's written down. The record has it. He done what was right, but he didn't do it with a pure heart. Huh? Think about that. His testimony was he did right on the outside, but his heart was bad. While he was outside doing the things everybody saw in the privacy, he worshipped other gods and burned incense and done all this stuff. There's a lot of that around that we'll go to the church house on Sunday morning and live like hell and the devil through the week because we're showing others that we're doing right and there's nothing right on the heart. There's nothing right on the inside. We're not living for God. No, we're living that people might see it and say good things, but our heart ain't pure. Huh? Makes a difference. Because the record's got it wrote down. You can sing and you can even join in on the worship and look around and mock and mimic what everybody else does. You come to church every Sunday. When you go and punch the time clock on Monday, nobody knows you ever went to the church house. When you go back to the house, your children don't know you was there. They think it's just something you do on Sunday. There's no change on the heart. Huh? It's like that. It's like that. Go out in the community. You go to church? Did you ever hear anybody say that on the job? Someone tell the church, you go? Where do you go? I've heard him say it. Where do you go? I can go there, I'm sure. If they'll let you go, I know I'm welcome. You know why? Because it's not with a pure heart. Huh? What's the testimony of your house today? Your testimony, hey, they done good, and they done good for the Lord, and they done good for the community, and they died that way like Jehovah. No. What about, what was his name? Amaziah? And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Is your heart clean this morning? Huh? Is there anything in your heart that ought not be there this morning? Huh? You got evil in your heart? Been living in sin through the week? Huh? Living in sin last night, didn't try to praise the Lord? Don't work that way. What will the record say? What will the record say this morning? Huh? 2 Chronicles 27, verse 1 and 2. Jotham was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusalem, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Now this is a unique gentleman. Huh? He said he was a good guy, but he didn't go to church. He done what was right, but he never did go to church. You know he like that? Yeah, they're a good feller. Where they go? Oh, they don't go to church. They don't go to church, and all the people around and under him done corruptly. Now, his daddy went to church. Uzziah. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. We know that scripture about Isaiah, right? Uzziah died, huh? And it says, let's go back and look what it say. That he was 25 years old. He was raised undoubtedly in the right kind of home. Uzziah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But there was something missing there with this old boy. He done right, but he didn't go to church. Is that the testimony of your house? That you do right? Yeah, I do it all right. Huh? I know people that I know, a man that comes to my mind right now, just made this statement this past week. I don't understand why things happen to me. I've done it all right. I've never done nobody wrong. I couldn't believe it was said, but it was annoying. Where did he go to church? Oh, he don't. What does his family do? Same thing he does. How's his family live? Same way he does. Corruptly. Are you hearing me? You know what's on record in the Bible for generation after generation to read that Jotham, he never went to the temple and the people done corruptly. How would you like that read about you? It's what the record says. Huh? That'd be harsh, wouldn't it? I'm talking about the testimony of our house. That's the testimony of this man's house. We okay? He had no godly influence. Let me tell you something. You say, well, I'm a Christian. If you're a Christian, Christians go to church. Saved people go to church. Well, I don't like what the church done. Then get saved. Because you're worshiping people instead of God. I talked with someone here a while back in my office. And they was saying that they couldn't come to church because of you people. Some of you people. All right? And I said, well, you're going to have a hard time. What do you mean? I said, where are you going to buy groceries? Yeah. What? I said, where are you going to buy groceries? You buy groceries at Walmart? Yeah. I said, you can't go there anymore. Well, why? I said, because they do. That's right. Where do you buy gas? Well, I buy gas down. No more. Do you live in Nicholas County that's got Appalachian Power or Monongah? Mon, I said, I reckon they got to cut your power off this week. Why is it? Because them people you mentioned have Mon Power. You can't get your power from the same place. You can't buy your groceries at the same place. Because you just said you can't go to church with them. So then you can't go buy your groceries where they do. You can't buy your gas where they do. And they said, well, that's stupid. I said, and so what you said is stupid. That ain't what people don't go to church because they rebel against God. People don't go to church because their heart's not pure. People don't go to church because they want to live corruptly. Let me tell you, you don't go to the house of God, you're going to live corruptly. And so are your children. And so is your household. Huh? Are you hearing me? No godly influence. Huh? I know people say, you know, I tell you, I go talk to my dad all the time, get everybody. Why would you talk to a dead man? He's not going to give you godly counsel. I don't care if he's your daddy. He ain't saved. He ain't going to give you good counsel. Are you hearing me? Let's read again. 2 Chronicles 28:1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. Ahaz was Jotham's boy. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. Now, that David his father don't mean that he's David's kid that was in the line of the kings. Everybody got me? Talk to me if you understood that. His daddy didn't go to church, and he ended up doing wrong and worshiping other gods. Because daddy didn't go to church. Huh? It's been said by more than one about commotions behind daddies as they walk. And they've heard, I know of a family right now, comes to my mind the first time I ever heard it, that they'd gone in, walking in the snow, and they was walking in the house, and they heard something, the kid behind him groaning, looked around, and the boy was... He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm walking in your steps, daddy. Walking in your steps. That's what they're trained to do. I'll tell you what your kids are trained to do. They're trained to talk like you talk. They're taught to like who you like. They're taught to go where you go. They're taught to act like you act. They're taught to believe what you believe. I've told it more than once. I think I just mentioned Wednesday night. If I don't like someone, none of my family do. If I don't like somebody, none of my family likes them. It don't matter how much good they've done you. If buddy, they've done me wrong, let's burn them out. Let's lock the doors, set their house on fire, and shoot them when they come out. Huh? Just shoot kids, dogs, cats, cows, pigs. Let's do it all. If we're going to do it, let's do it all. You ain't you? That's the way you are? Somebody does me right, it don't matter how hellish they've been living. Boy, I tell you, I know they got their fun, but they're good people. Is that right? Is that not the way we are? It don't matter. They can be a mass murderer. Hey, but they may have done it, but they never done that to me. Right? Is that not how we are? We follow our families follow. That is like Jared. Jared's helped Philip. If you do wrong, I'm going to beat you to death. Hey, but ain't nobody ever going to say nothing about you. To me, not to me. I don't care if you live to be 100. I got your back. Okay? All right? Now, I may break your legs, but I got your back. Same as Kenzie. You know why? Because I'm raised in a feuding generation. Good to me, I'm good to you. Bad to me, I'm bad to you. You know, ain't got nothing to do with being a Christian. I want my way. I'm going to follow her. Everybody got me?
Yeah.
It's what this old boy done. His daddy didn't go to church, so he didn't go. There's a lot of mommies go to church. A lot of mommies go to church, and the children go to church if they're made to go. But when daddy don't go, the kid don't go. If daddy's not faithful, the kids say, why do I need to be faithful? It don't matter. I know a lot of godly women that's went to church faithfully by themselves for years, and the men sit at the house. And where's the kids? At the house with daddy. Now, we all want to blow up fellers and say, but I'm the head of my house, and I want you to know I'm ahead. Where you lead them, to hell or heaven? Where you teach them? Teach them to be a Christian, or you teach them to be a hellion? Huh? How come we don't put that authority back where it belongs? Huh? Let's look on. 2 Chronicles 29:1-2. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Hezekiah's famous. You know, he wanted to turn his face to the wall and pray. God gave him 15 more years. And, you know, answered prayer, done a lot of things, bringing cisterns down, water from above, all kinds of stuff, you know, done a lot of work in the community, done a lot of things. And then Hezekiah died. He slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchers of the son of David. And I said that. And all the Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death. And Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead. He seemed to have did great, and the people loved him, huh? But I want you to look at his family. I wonder, did he forget his family? Let me tell you a lot of times what we'll do. We'll do right ourselves. As long as we're getting praise of everybody and we see a few things done, we'll go on, but we forget our family. We forget to bring our family along with the ride, for the ride. Everybody got me there? And we'll get so saturated with us and we'll become selfish with us, even with God. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Because look here, what Hezekiah done what was right. And he done what was right with the people. The people loved him. Huh? But his family went to hell. There's a problem. There's a problem. It's someone handed down. Now let's just look and see how bad it got. 2 Chronicles 33:1-7. Everybody with me? Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now Hezekiah was doing it right. His daddy. The people loved him. It's a big problem with preachers. We'll get all busy and live our life, boy, and we're getting pats on the back and preach meetings everywhere, and our family go to hell while we're doing it. Get busy for the Lord. Boy, just run. End up forgetting our wife, forgetting our children. Happens all the time. It's the same way with your homes, not just the preacher's home. We'll forget our family. We'll forget to sit down and bring them along and train them and teach them. The Bible says, train up a child the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart. And that means exactly what it says. It don't mean they'll go out in the world and come back. And what it says. But we've always said that. How dumb are we? Look at me. How dumb can we be to say the Bible says train up a child the way he should go, when he's old he won't depart. Now what that means is that I treat him when he's little, and if he goes out in the world, that's fine. He'll come back. That's a promise. That ain't what it says. It says you train him right, they'll never leave. That's what it says. They won't go back. They won't go to the world. They'll do exactly what's right. If they're trained right. And undoubtedly Hezekiah messed up. I know preachers that don't take care of the community kids, won't take care of their own kids. Preachers take care of other families, won't take care of his family. In my own home, preachers that'll build the God a house and won't work on his own. It's a fact. It's what I've done for years. Make sure we had a house building and let my house fall apart. I better take care of things at home, hadn't I? Huh? Maybe you ought to. Now let's see how bad it got. He did that was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. How far can a child be forsaken? How far will they go, even in a godly home, supposedly? Let's look and see. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He went and put everything back. His daddy had lived right and done right, and he went back and put it all back like it was. That's what it says. And he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, not for the Lord. He built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. That's where the teaching of hail come from. From Manasseh. That he would sacrifice his children to the fire even. How far can they go? They'll go as far as you set the example for them to go. And he calls the children to pass through the fire in the valley of Hinnom, the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon's son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Right in the middle of where God was, he built an idol and set it there. That's how wicked he got. What will the record show for our testimony of our household today? What will it show? It'll show something. Huh? What are we leaving behind? What am I leaving behind? Huh? It will be great, as I've told you before, it will be great if Cheryl and the boys can go by my casket and say, boy, Daddy was a good preacher. That'd be wonderful. But if that's all they can say, then I fail. Cheryl Ann needs to be able to come by that casket and look at me and say, wow, they ain't a greater husband than that man laying there in that casket. Nobody could ever love me like he loved me. Nobody could ever done for me what he done for me. Nobody could ever provided for me like he did. That was the greatest husband in the world laying right there. Without any doubt. Yeah. And the children come by and look over and say, boy, that was the best daddy. He taught us right, and he lived right in front of us, and he provided for us, and he made sure that we done right, and he was always there, always there. Yeah. Then, if nobody else says anything, then I can say that the record showed that Mark D. Sechrist had a testimony when he died because his household,
right.
Because his household understood it.
Amen.
And I wonder today, what are we leaving behind? There's no doubt if I die and we foul out all the time, there's going to be people come by and say, that preacher led me to the Lord. There's been many. That's great. There'll be homes come by and say, the preachers come to bat and our home survived because of counsel. Some of these little children that run to me, oh, it's a joy. After church is over, I get a hug. There'll be kids that'll come to me and they won't leave till they come and hug me. That's wonderful and great. Huh? When Liam comes, that tickles me to run just as fast as like my own grandkid. Huh? But if Cheryl and the boys can't come by, I failed. If Cheryl and the boys can't come by, it don't matter how many line up and say, he led me to the Lord. It don't matter how many come by and say, he's preached hundreds of revivals and hundreds of this and hundreds of that. If Cheryl Ann and the boys can't come by and say, there ain't nobody better than that man laying right there, then I have failed my household. I have failed my household. Because I was growed up to please mom and dad. But September the 6th, 1981, my life come to start pleasing you.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
My testimony of my household. It's not the testimony of my pastor in Mountain State Baptist Church. It's my testimony of this woman and my boys and their children. Huh? What are you going to leave behind this morning? What's your testimony going to be? Huh? I done right. Nobody else will do right, but I done right. Well, you can't make people do right. Are you hearing me? But you got to do right yourself. But if you do right, it'll catch on. Huh? We okay this morning?
Yes.
This is what it's about. This is reality preaching. Huh? That's what this is. This is called reality preaching. Embry calls it smack mouth preaching, but it's reality preaching. Huh? You hearing me? If it all finishes today, what's the record going to show? What's it going to show? How far do you go? To your last breath. When do you quit doing right? When you breathe your last breath.
Amen.
Huh? Are you hearing me?
Sure.
What's the testimony of your house going to be? What is the testimony of our house? What is yours this morning? Let's build a house.
Amen.
What kind of house are we building right now? What are you going to do? You want one for the Lord? What's in your house right now? What's in your house right now don't belong? What's in your house right now that don't belong? Are there idols in your house? Husbands, you got idols in your house? Wives, you got idols in your house? Will your children rise up and call you blessed moms? Will the boys say, "There's no greater godly man than my daddy"? Sherilyn, come to the piano. Bow your heads this morning. Let me ask you this. What's in your house right now? Right now. What's in your life? I'm going to tell you what's in your household. It's what's in your heart. Last, are you saved this morning? Huh? Dads, are you saved this morning? Huh? Sure, I am. Play just soon you can. We'll sing in a moment, Jay. Do you have a saved house today? Have you repented and placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you following Jesus? Say, "Well, preacher, I've strayed away." I'm asking, are you saved? Are you living where you're supposed to be living? Is the record going to show you, God? What kind of household is the record going to show? All the people and God, and everybody says, "Yes, he was right." Are we like the one who lived it on the outside and not on the inside? Are we like the one who, "Yeah, I'm right, but I'll never go to church"? Are we like the one who say, "Yeah, I'm doing it all for the community, all for God, and let my family go to hell"? I'm wondering today what kind of testimony that we're going to leave in our household. It ain't going to be right. Won't you slip out of that seat and come to Jesus? Make it right today. Make it right today. Start fresh today. That's the good thing about the Lord. You can start fresh today. Huh? Start fresh today. What you got? Okay. 465. Stand, let's sing. I believe we know this old song.